Well, we are continuing in our carol series. Brace yourselves, it'll be a short message, so you gotta put your listening ears on, okay? We're gonna listen quick, it'll be a short message, and then we'll wrap it up for the morning. We are continuing with our carols. Today our carol is Away in the Manger. And I was doing research on this, it's actually kind of an unusual story. They're not really certain who wrote this carol. When it was first published in a family publication, it was under the title Luther's Cradle Hymn. But no one to date has been able to find any evidence of this hymn within his writing. And so they're really not sure where Away in the Manger came from. But the idea is it is sort of a child's catechism, an introduction to faith and the Christmas story. And it does echo Martin Luther's theology pretty closely. So nevertheless, we love this song. We're going to play it for you so you can recall the lyrics.
Yeah.
So my teenagers might have just pointed out to me that every video we've shown in this series, the singers need haircuts. Yes, we're aware of that. I hope it's not too terribly distracting, but I thought the mural was worth enduring the falsetto, right? It was really cool. Away in a Manger is a favorite Christmas song for a lot of people. Let me come up here so you can see me. The part that sticks out to me in Away in the Manger is the little Lord Jesus. And kind of the thought I've been wrestling with this week is, Lord Jesus, do we recognize that he is Lord? We traveled a lot when I was a young child growing up and through high school, and honestly, we still travel a lot. Somewhere in our travels, somewhere we went often, there was a sign in the middle of nowhere that lit up this way that simply said, Jesus is Lord. And I traveled past that sign so many times that it's still lit up in my mind. Do you know what I mean? When you can revisit a memory and it's still there. And I can still see that sign in my mind's eye, and it reminds me of where my life is going. The truth is always surrounded and centered my life. Jesus is Lord. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay is the little Lord Jesus, the mighty Lord Jesus, who lived perfect and went to the cross on our behalf. He is our Lord. In fact, it says in the New Testament alone 740 times that Jesus is Lord. Did you have any idea it was in there that often? There's not a question about his lordship. The one that's really obvious to us at Christmas time is actually the first reference to his lordship, and it's found in Luke 2, verses 11 and 12. I think the students said it this morning. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The thing is that even children recognize the little Lord Jesus. They recognize baby Jesus as Lord. Pastor Rob and I had the privilege of sitting in the White Barn picket fence window a couple weeks ago during our live greeting card windows, and we were a very tiny manger scene there. We had a nativity scene, Mary, Joseph, and baby Leilani was actually our baby. And it was just a really fun evening of recreating a small piece of that story. But the neatest part wasn't what people saw when they looked in. The neatest part was sitting on the inside of the glass and watching small children come up and go, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus. I could see them mouth it. I couldn't hear them, but I could see them mouth it. I could see the recognition of that one's Mary, that one's Joseph. That one's the little Lord Jesus. Because even children can recognize that Jesus is Lord. From the very beginning of Christ's story, he is called Lord. And so I wonder this morning, do you call him Lord? Do you recognize him as Lord? And how does that lordship affect your daily life? How does it affect your workplace and your job? How does it affect your marriage, the lordship of Christ? How does it affect the way you raise your children or speak to them or discipline them? How does it affect your hobbies, your interests, the way you spend your free time? How does his lordship affect your decisions? Do you bring things to him? How does his lordship affect your finances? We were watching the Dave Ramsey video this morning, and I thought, you know, the most exciting thing about financial peace is having the joy of giving. Because when we have financial peace, we're freed up to give generously. So, Jesus is Lord. The Greek word for Lord is actually kurios, which means supreme in authority or controller. And control is a word we all just kind of instantly wince at when we hear, right? We don't want to give up control. We want to keep control. We want to keep ourselves in control and our situations in control. But the truth is that Jesus is Lord. He's curious. He's in control. So if Jesus is Lord, there are two truths that we have to face. First of all, you and I aren't in control anyway, right? We know this on some level, but we still try to fight for it. It's all an illusion, though, this illusion of control. There are things that interrupt our illusion of control all the time. Things like accidents or emergencies, health situations, wayward children or wayward spouses, fluctuating stock markets. All these things prove to us how fragile our facade of control actually is. The second thing we see is that Jesus is actually in control, already in control. That's what it means to be sovereign. So he is Lord. He is in control. We are not. We can either acknowledge that truth or we can ignore it. But ignoring it will never negate the truth of it. Ignoring his lordship doesn't mean he isn't Lord. It's kind of like gravity. You're all familiar with gravity, right? I hope so. Okay. We can balk against gravity. We can pretend that it doesn't exist, but it's a natural law that reigns over us. Sagging skin, airplanes, and dropped items all submit to the reality of gravity. Our ignorance or our rejection of God's lordship is about as effective as ignorance or rejection of gravitational pull. Doesn't make any difference. It just makes it more painful, right? If we don't acknowledge gravity. So if Jesus is Lord, as it states 740 times in Scripture, what is our right response? Our right response is surrender. Now, there are two kinds of surrender. There's the partially surrendered life. I'd like to refer to it as the PSL, not pumpkin spice latte, but the partially surrendered life. And then there's the totally surrendered life. And before you just hear that and assume that you're totally surrendered, I'd like to explore it just a little bit more. What does a partially surrendered life look like? Jesus describes it in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, when he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" This reminds me of what my dad would call lip service when I was a kid. And Jesus doesn't like lip service any more than my dad did. So lip service looks like saying, "I believe in you as Lord. I believe Jesus is Lord, but I still want to be in control." So lip service says things like, "I'm not going to trust him with everything. Most things, but not everything," right? Lip service looks like, "I'm going to go ahead and hold grudges and hoard my belongings." Lip service looks like, "I'm going to keep my money and the church and the poor can look after themselves because I look after myself," right? Partially surrendered life, lip service looks like, "I'm going to save Sundays for football or fishing or family time," when God's asked you to come be a part of his family on Sunday mornings. Lip service looks like, "I'm going to live my life the way I want, and I hope that God's grace is enough to cover the rest." Lip service looks like, "I'm going to pretend that God's word is just an old, outdated book that isn't congruent with the enlightened culture that we live in. As the kids would say, I'm woke, and the Bible just isn't. I'm going to pick and choose the verses I like best and ignore the rest, as though Scripture is a buffet and not a complete meal." So you might be offended right now, or you might recognize the symptoms of a partially surrendered life. Here's the banner verse for the partially surrendered life. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart, and lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him and make your own paths straight. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I hope you're recognizing that that's not right at all, right? Part-time lordship is like a part-time job. If you have a part-time job, you get part-time benefits. You'll receive some benefits from following Jesus, but not the complete package that he longs to give you. Everybody knows that the benefits on a part-time job are trash compared to the benefits on a full-time job, right? Jesus is not a part-time Lord. He's a full-time Lord. He's fully invested in us. That's why he came in the first place, and then he lived this sinless life and went to the cross. He gave himself fully to us. So our response to his gift should be a surrendered life. The scripture I misquoted a few moments ago actually reads like this, and you're going to see it as the banner verse for a totally surrendered life. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. In the scripture, the word acknowledge, the Greek for that word is yada, and it translates more like know. Know the Lord with all your heart. It's know like a man and a wife know each other, like intimacy, like no secrets, like absolute trust. When we truly know Jesus, we trust him. As we grow in our knowing, we grow in our trusting. So here's the bottom line. We struggle with trusting, with surrendering. We struggle with knowing Jesus as our Lord. But the more time we spend in his word, the more time we spend communicating with him and surrendering to him, the more we know him. And the easier it is to give up more and more of our life to him. That's exactly why Jesus hands us the most important instruction in all of life. Are you ready for it? The most important instruction in Luke 10:27, and repeated other times throughout the gospel as well, and echoed throughout all of the Old Testament. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a relational command that we would love God and that we would love others. Jesus is telling us that life is all about relationships, beginning with him, setting that one right first, and then he helps us in all the other relationships. When you find yourself struggling with surrender, stop and remember exactly who the baby in the manger truly is. Pastor Rob shared about this last week, how we can look at the manger and see a baby and not see something incredibly powerful and significant, but we've got to remember who the baby grew up to be. Who the baby is in our lives today. He is the King of Kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the chosen one to save us from our sins. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. I like to think of that as he's the one that's writing the story, and he's also the one who goes in and makes the edits. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the bread of life, the sustainer of all life. He's the light of the world. He's the Savior and the lifter of our head. And this morning, he is Lord, Kyrios, Controller, the Sovereign One who is good and who has it all in his capable hand. That's a comfort this Christmas. Let's close in prayer this morning. Lord, today we acknowledge you as Lord of all and Lord in us. Help us to identify the areas of our life where we're still wrestling with control. Lord, we all have them, those pieces of ourselves that we are just not ready to give up. Help us see them clearly today. Convict us and set us free of the illusion of ruling our own lives. May we begin to systematically start surrendering our work, our family, our finances, our agendas, and our calendars to your kingdom's purpose. Amen. Amen. Closing thought today. I was thinking about the wise men this morning and how they were the essence of a surrendered life. They saw a star in the sky, and they knew enough about the sky to know that God was speaking to them. And they set aside their agendas, they set aside all the commitments they had, and they went on the world's craziest road trip, pre-La Quinta, pre-minivan, pre-Southwest, all of that. And they followed that star until they found the Lord Jesus. And they were so blessed by his presence. They were so blessed by what they witnessed in that manger that their lives were never the same. I suspect that God would like you to follow a star this Christmas, that he wants to speak to you, and that speaking will result in surrender, and that surrender will result in a greater experience with his presence this season. So I hope you'll have the courage to look for the star and follow him when he gives you opportunity. You guys, be blessed. Merry Christmas.